Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We've been reporting all morning on the violence that's erupted over the weekend in Afghanistan, but the story really begins on March 20th when followers of Terry Jones, that pastor based in Gainesville, Florida, who received global headlines for threatening to burn a Quran. His followers actually did it on March 20th. On March 24th, the president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, drew attention to this little-known event by issuing a press release in which he called the immolation of the Quran, quote, a crime against a religion and an entire Muslim ummah, the entire community. Well, that inflamed violence that erupted on Friday with the death of UN workers in Mazar-e Sharif, a formerly peaceful zone in the battlefield that is Afghanistan. And there have been violent protests every day since, including two today, more than 20 people killed. Joining us to talk about this is Christine Fair, assistant professor at Georgetown Center for Peace and Security Studies. Christine, good morning once again.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So how crucial an event is this? And do you seem to believe, and it appears as though in a blog post that I read from you, that Hamid Karzai is in some sense responsible for at least calling attention to this incident, which might have passed unnoticed?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. No one in the, frankly, I didn't even know about the Quran burning until the riots had begun. Unlike the first episode when this fanatic madman who enjoyed considerable media fame for his announced intention to burn the Quran, the media this time around responsibly disregarded him, and it had no play. And so he actually burnt the Quran on March 20th. On March 24th, Hamid Karzai, you know, basically releases this press statement in which he, quote, you know, calls for this fellow to be held to account and brought to justice. Now, Hamid Karzai knows full well, because his family connections here and other connections to the United States, that the man, though he might be a lunatic and offensive and a bigot, he committed no crime in the United States. So one has to logically ask the question, why would Hamid Karzai raise this issue? If it were an emergent domestic issue, he had a choice. He could have played it down. He could have said this was a fringe lunatic. Americans, by a wide margin, decry this fellow. He doesn't represent Americans. He could have called for peace. But, of course, there was no domestic situation brewing around this until Karzai himself introduced it.
And, indeed, you note something that's very important, and that is riots have occurred, you know, nowhere else but Afghanistan, really, at
absolutely.
Least to this level. So Karzai's decision is pretty crucial in the subsequent events. Let's get a sort of a smattering of the reaction that's taken place. First of all, General David Petraeus, the commander of NATO forces in Afghanistan, gave this response yesterday.
We condemn the action of an individual in the United States who burned a holy Quran. That action was hateful, it was intolerant, and it was extremely disrespectful.
And here's Peter Galbraith, the former UN Deputy Special Representative for Afghanistan, on our program this morning, describing the scene in which some of his colleagues died in Mazar-e Sharif.
It's a really brutal, brutal scene. And, of course, none of these people were Americans. They were there simply to help. Here they are, victims of, a publicity-seeking crackpot in Florida.
Peter Galbraith describing the death of seven UN workers in Mazar-e Sharif. And here Rod Nordland on our program earlier today, Christine Fair, really bolsters your notion that this has very little to do with the Taliban, even though there are lots of reports saying the Taliban has benefited from this Quran burning report. The Taliban are distancing themselves. It's Hamid Karzai who actually may have sparked this entire affair. Listen.
Well, actually, the Taliban are saying they had nothing to do with either the demonstrations and the violence in Mazar-e Sharif, nor in Kandahar. Now, they may just be saying that to make it appear that there's just all this kind of indigenous anti-American sentiment, or it may be true.
So, Christine Fair, the million-dollar question is, did Karzai understand that this would be the consequence, or did he step on something here?
You know something, if he didn't understand the consequences, then this absolutely raises further questions about his suitability to lead the country. In 2005, there were Quran riots. You may recall that there were rumors, whether or not they were true is irrelevant, that Qurans were desecrated in Guantanamo, and there were subsequent riots. So in very recent memory, he should be able to reach back to those recent events and understand the consequences of the sorts of controversy that he was raising.
And maybe even more importantly, this was an opportunity for Karzai, and you've said this on this program many times, this was an opportunity to bond himself with the NATO operation and with the coalition against the Taliban, but he's done the opposite here.
Yeah, he actually has done everything he can to dissociate himself from the very military efforts that actually keep him in power, which continually raises, in my estimation, the question of why we continue to support someone who not only does not want our support, but in fact is trying to wiggle out of our embrace. He needs to play to a variety of domestic audiences, and he will always benefit in this current environment by dissociating himself from the United States and NATO. And you know what? I think the time has come for us to do the same.
But Christine, this incident, the fact that there are demonstrations in a number of cities in Afghanistan, to a certain extent, doesn't that speak to the fragility of the mission to win hearts and minds in Afghanistan?
Well, I have long said that this mission was in any case folly. You cannot. I mean, there have been so many strategic errors that the United States and NATO has made in the 9-year prosecution of this war that at some point you have to sort of recognize the consequence of a concatenation of blunders. And we are where we are. And I think that our opportunities to improve the situation, I just think that window of opportunity has slammed shut pretty hard.
So let's get this clear.
What we really need to do is figure out how do we get out of here? How do we go forward?
So if you were on the National Security Council this morning, your advice to President Obama would be cut ties with Hamid Karzai. This is it.
No, I think we need to scale back this counterinsurgency measure. I think we need to negotiate access to continue, you know, bombing al-Qaeda. I don't believe the Taliban, though. They are loathsome, are our enemy. And we need to have a normal relationship with the country that focuses on training as we do with other countries. But we really need to get out of the business of counterinsurgency. And when Karzai tells us, I don't want your counterinsurgency, we need to take that at face value. Otherwise, this is simply straightforward an occupation. End of story.
Is it a flare-up in Afghanistan or a real turning point? Christine Fair suggests this is a turning point. Christine Fair, assistant professor at Georgetown Center for Peace and Security Studies, reacting to Hamid Karzai possibly escalating the violence that we've seen in Afghanistan over the weekend by relating it to a Quran burning 2 weeks ago in Gainesville, Florida. Christine Fair, thanks so much.
Thank you.